Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country who tune into Radio 4, but also around the world, on the World Service, and those who listen to us on the internet. And also it's my huge pleasure to welcome the four exciting, individual, and highly talented players of the game. It's always a pleasure to have on the show that highly inventive, original, and wonderful comedian, Paul Merton. We also have another equally talented and more outrageous comedian, that is Graham Norton. We also have a wonderful comedian and lovely actress, Linda Smith, and we have one of the original members of Just a Minute who's contributed so much over the years, that's the ever-talented Clement Freud. Will you please welcome all four of them? Beside me, it's Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score, and she will blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from St. Edmunds Hall, which is in the lovely Suffolk town of Southwold on the coast of this beautiful county, and we have in front of us a wonderful, hyped-up, enthusiastic Suffolk audience ready to enjoy this show, which is... I've told them they're going to enjoy it, so they obviously are. It's part of the theatre festival here in Southwold. And we begin the show this week with Paul Merton. Paul, oh dear, the best-dressed member of the panel. Will you talk on that subject? 60 seconds, starting now.
Sir Clement Freud is wearing a charming off-the-shoulder cocktail dress. He sparkled with a million sequins, and as they glitter in the light, I can't help but wonder where the earrings, which are part of the matching ensemble, Norman from Tottenham, I think, is the designer. What a wonderful, brave decision to wear a bra outside your jacket, as well as the charming high-heeled shoes made out of pink leather. A marvellous, absolute...
Clement Freud's challenge.
They were too marvellous.
There was two marvellous.
Too marvellous for words.
Too unbelievable for words. Clement, you have a correct challenge, so you get a point for that. You take over the subject. The subject is the best-dressed member of the panel, and you have 34 seconds available, starting now.
My book, Dressing for Radio, I think tells Nenu what you need is a colour-coordinated rapport with a microphone. And of all the well-dressed people on this panel, may I suggest Nicholas Parsons, although I think wearing a morning coat in the evening is overdoing it to some extent.
Paul, you've challenged.
Well, it's a slight deviation, is it? Because it's the best-dressed member of the panel.
Yes.
And you're the chairman.
Oh, what a clever guy. Yes, they hadn't spotted it, but they applauded when you spotted it. Paul, a correct challenge, deviation, you've got in. You have a point, of course, for that. 11 seconds are available, and you begin now.
The temperature of this hall is very hot. It's so hot.
Oh, yes. Even after the many years you've played it, it's still a tough game, isn't it? Clement, you got in first. I think we all know what it was. 7 seconds. The best-dressed member of the panel, Clement, starting now.
I'm on day 7 of the Atkins diet, and I thought I would just mention...
Linda challenged.
Perhaps a hint of deviation?
I think he should have established right at the start that the Atkins diet had got something to do with him being the best-dressed member of the panel, and he didn't. So I give you the benefit of the doubt on this occasion, Linda, and you've got him with 1 second to go on this subject. We've got friends for both sides in the audience. Starting now.
The best dressed person.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. It was at this occasion, of course, Linda Smith, and she has 2 points, and so is Clement Freud in the round. Paul has 1, Graham has yet to score. And Graham, you begin the next round. The subject is DJs. Tell us something about DJs in Just a Minute, starting now.
DJs are, of course, also known as disc jockeys. This name came about in olden days when records were much bigger and small Shetland ponies dragged needles around and around with a little man.
Paul Chant.
Around and around?
Around and around. No, around and around.
I think it was round and around.
I was sitting next to him, but I wasn't really listening.
We'll give you the benefit of the doubt and say...
Really?
Yes, it was. A point to you for incorrect challenge, Graham. You keep the subject. There are 45 seconds available. DJs starting now.
Tragically, in my home, I dance around and neighbours glance through the window.
Repetition of a round.
You see, for poetic justice, if you let him go, he comes back again, doesn't he? So,
there's no element of doubt in that particular challenge?
No doubt at all. Right.
Even I heard that one.
Yes. Paul, you have 37 seconds. Tell us something about DJs starting now.
The first DJ on the BBC. Oh.
Clement, yes.
Repetition of B.
B, yes. I know, it's a tough game. Right, 35 seconds, Clement. With you, it's DJ still.
The best-dressed member of the panel wears a DJ, which is, of course, a dinner
table. Linda, you've challenged.
Well, I was going to say deviation because you're talking about what we were wearing, but also deviation because no one's wearing a dinner jacket.
No, but he didn't say before. It doesn't matter. DJs is an abbreviation for dinner jackets. And he was going off
That's
about
true.
Dinner jackets.
That's true. I wish I'd... I feel awful now.
No, you don't. No, he was rather shrewd and clever, and, you know, and you're all keen, and you got in, and you were the first one in there.
Oh.
But unfortunately, Clement, an incorrect challenge, so you keep the subject. You have a point, of course. 32 seconds, DJs, starting now.
A jay is a bird, rather like a tit. But unlike...
Poor challenge.
Hesitation.
It's hesitation. Hesitation. Not hesitation. You could have had it for deviation of... Jay is nothing like a tit. Two more different kind of birds you couldn't see. 25 seconds with you, Paul, on DJ starting now.
Was Christopher Stone, and he used to play records around about 1926, and the term disc jockey, I think, was coined for him. It is one of those avenues in show business where if you're not particularly good-looking, you don't wish to appear on television, you can still earn quite a good whack by appearing on the radio playing other people's recordings. You can say, hello, this is the latest track from Blondie, or if you're more up-to-date, something from perhaps Geraldo.
So, Paul Merton kept going for a number of seconds until the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and he's equal in the lead with Clement Freud at the end of that round. And Linda, your turn to begin, and the subject now is crabs. Well, Warbleswick is known for its crabs, but you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Whenever I come to Southwold, I always go home with crabs. I think it's because I hang around outside the sailors' reading rooms for quite a while. It's lovely to go down the pier and fish for crabs. Crabs are always a delightful treat to get to eat. Dressed crabs are more expensive because it's so difficult to get their jumpers over their little claws. That's where the extra money goes. It's a tasty repast. I like to think of it as the chicken of the deep because it has brown and white meat, as does the fowl I have just mentioned. I think that crab sandwiches are maybe the best way to enjoy this little meal. It is perhaps also...
Repetition of little.
Little, yes.
Oh, don't worry, it wasn't an accident.
Now, I think you've got the audience with you, Clement, correct challenge. You have 20 seconds available. Tell us something about crabs starting now.
The best-dressed crab, I always say, is one that has hard-boiled egg, both the albumen and the yolk, chopped carefully with parsley, onion and anchovy. You put these on a plate in the shell and serve it at outrageous prices...
So, Clement Freud, speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point, and the other one in the round, he's now taking the lead ahead of Paul Merton, then Linda Smith and Graham Norton in that order. And, Clement, your turn to begin. And the subject now is time-saving devices. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
A home hysterectomy kit springs to mind. But I suppose, after some consideration, a blender would be high up in my list. If you want to make a mayonnaise, put into it eggs, mustard, lemon, vinegar, salt, and a pinch of sugar before adding the oil, which, in the case...
Graham challenged.
I think a deviation, because surely a real time-saving thing would just be to go out and buy mayonnaise in a jar.
That's not a device.
No. No, but you've saved time. Fair enough. On you go.
No. It's one of those difficult decisions, I think, because it is a device for making it, and it's probably time-saving. You can argue that way, so I don't think he was, strictly speaking, deviating within the rules of Just a Minute. So, Clement, benefit of the doubt to you on this occasion. Keep the subject, 38 seconds, time-saving devices, starting now.
If you don't like those sort of devices, you can go out to a shop and buy some condiment, whatever you like, in a shop. Or
four times.
We had repetition of shop.
Yes, you did. Paul, I agree with that. 27 seconds available. Time-saving devices starting now.
Some time-saving devices aren't actually very good. The microwave does save an awful lot of time, but unfortunately all the food it cooks is awful. And there is good...
Linda, challenge.
Repetition of goods.
That's right, yes. Good. And all the fingers went, but yours went first, Linda. 18 seconds with you. Time-saving devices starting now.
If I met Geoffrey Archer, I'd take an immediate dislike to him. That would be a time-saving device, which would be very useful to me in life. Some time-saving devices are less good.
Grim challenge.
Was a repetition of good?
No, I don't think
so. There was hesitation.
There was.
There was repetition of less.
No, Graham, she actually hesitated, but you didn't spot it. So it's too late now. I have to accept the first challenge. So, Linda, you keep the subject. You have 4 seconds on time-saving devices starting now.
Instant tea is a time-saving device, but it's ghastly. Marks and Spencer's...
So Linda Smith was speaking then as a whistle wind, gained an extra point, and she's now equal with Paul Merton in second place behind Clement Freud and then Graham Norton coming up behind them all. And Paul, it's your turn to be, and the subject is fake tans. Tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now.
Fake tan is a labour-saving device. It says something about the person who has a fake tan. It says, I'm bright, I'm busy, I'm orange. These are things that fake tans do for you. Unlike the real tan, there is no particular health problem associated with a fake tan. You just go into one of these shops, they squirt you full of some kind of brown-like liquid. I'm not quite sure exactly what goes on, but there is no problem with it, unlike the rays of the sun.
Graham Challenge.
Repetition of problem.
Yes. So, Graham, you've gone in with 37 seconds on fake tans starting now.
I did once, I'm afraid to admit, have a fake tan. I went into a shop and got what they call a Saint-Tropez. And I'm here to tell you, it was a dismal failure. No tan showed up anywhere, except my hands did look like I'd been doing something that a novice vet might have to spend a lot of time on. It wasn't a great look. I wasn't happy.
What was that O for? Joy, no. Pleasure, or...
Is that your hypnotist key word? What?
Forty challenge.
The repetition of wasn't.
It wasn't, yes. It was two wasn'ts there. 1 second ago, fake tans, Paul, starting now.
Satsuma is one of the most...
So at the end of that round, Paul Merton, with 1 or 2 points, has gone 1 ahead of Clement Freud into the lead, and then 2 ahead of Linda Smith, and then Graham Norton. And Graham, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is decluttering. 60 seconds, starting now.
You've got to feel a little sorry for clutter, which people do feel obliged to declutter.
Paul, challenge.
Well, it was a repetition of feel.
You've got a feel, yes.
You're quite right.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
There were 2 feels. You were feeling it too much.
Yes.
And on the expression on your face, there was huge feeling as well.
Yeah, it was very deep.
And Paul, a point and the subject, and 54 seconds, decluttering starting now.
Decluttering is one of those words that's popped into common use in the last few years.
Graham, challenge.
Common use? Decluttering? I don't think I've ever heard it before.
Oh, no, I think it's been around for quite a bit.
Oh, has it?
Yes.
I'm so wrong.
I think it's been around quite a while, and if not, it's been used for quite a while, if it's not in the popper.
So it's a word that's been used, but it's actually not been around?
That's right. It's not been...
Around? Don't say that again.
A bonus point for Graham for his around. Paul was interrupted. A point for that. Decluttering still with you, Paul. And 50 seconds starting now.
It's a byproduct of feng shui, which is a Japanese term meaning you have more money than sense. There was a couple who wanted to buy a house in Yorkshire, but they had an expert in this particular art who advised them not to buy each property that they saw.
Linda, challenge.
Repetition of buy.
Yes, we're buying, yes. We've got 36 seconds to talk about decluttering starting now.
My house could do with decluttering when I leave the home that... Oh, it was a hollow victory, wasn't it?
Yeah. But it was lovely to hear from you.
Thank you, Nicholas.
Hesitation,
Paul, yes. 32 seconds, decluttering, starting now.
The Eskimo has no particular problem with decluttering because when it comes to spring, his house melts away. He doesn't have to worry about picking up those little things, thinking, why did I buy that?
Yes.
Hesitation,
yes. 17 seconds, Clement. Decluttering starting now.
Decluttering is a word which I particularly didn't want to speak about, especially for 17 seconds. It is the opposite of...
Paul Challenge.
Well, I thought I'd relieve Clement of the responsibility. There's a slight hesitation there, I thought.
No, there wasn't any hesitation.
No, I didn't think there was either.
Clement, I don't think it was a big enough response for a bonus either, so...
No, so... Well, we could just sit here and sort of wallow in my misery, or we could just move on with the show.
Clement, another point, and 9 seconds, decluttering, starting now.
Mrs. Cluttering's daughter, Dee, was one of the most attractive women that I've come across. She lived in Wenniston, near Wesselton, not far from...
Right. So it's a pretty close contest. Clement Freud is now 1 point behind Paul Merton, who's in the lead, and Linda Smith, with all her bonus points, is only 3 behind our leader, and Graham Norton is a few more behind them, but that's all. And Linda, it's your turn to begin. The subject now is It Girls. Tell us something about those girls in this game, starting now.
It Girls are posh girls who are famous for going out and wearing clothes. Tamara Beckwith is an It Girl. I saw her on television having an enema. How extraordinary, it crossed my mind. Colonic irrigation. It's sort of a kind of a...
Graham, challenge.
I was just buzzing as a sort of full stop. Hesitation.
Hesitation. Yes, I agree with you, Graham. Will you tell us something about colonic irrigation? No, that's not what you said, sir.
I can if you want me to.
The subject is It Girls, actually, not the other one. 43 seconds are available. It Girls is the subject, with you, Graham, starting now.
It Girls tend to be skinny and are famous for what they do. Nothing. They tend to have very rich parents. Oh, tend.
Linda.
Well, hesitation, but I could bite my tongue off, really, for doing it.
Actually, it was a bit incoherent, but it wasn't actually a genuine hesitation. No. Now, you have the benefit of the doubt on this occasion.
Oh, thank you.
You don't want it?
Oh, go on, then.
Go on. I'm sure you can go very well on It Girls.
Yes.
You have many It Girls on your programme on the television. Yes. 35 seconds, It Girls, with you, Graham, starting now.
Tara Palmer Tomkinson. Mara Beckworth, Lady Victoria Hervey. They are all It Girls. They have little funny stick limbs, hardly big enough to hold up a glass of champagne, and yet somehow they can. God, they're brave. They manage to struggle out of small flats in Notting Hill night after evening and eat canapes off trays. Not too many hors d'oeuvres for me, or I won't fit into a very narrow...
You didn't want the subject, but you went magnificently. You've raised the temperature of the room, and as well as your own. And Graham Norton has a number of points in the round, including one for speaking the whistle went. He's still in fourth place, but a very good fourth place now. He's in just behind Linda Smith. There's one behind Clement Freud. There's one behind Paul Merton. Paul, let's start the next round with you. And the subject is how to be the perfect spy. Tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
Undoubtedly, the most perfect spy is yet to be found. It could be somebody that we've never heard of. Undoubtedly, it's some... Oh.
Yes. Undoubtedly, yes. 54 seconds, how to be the perfect spy, starting now.
I think the important thing is the false moustache. Look where...
Paul Challenge.
Not if you're a female spy.
Paul, I give you a bonus point because they enjoyed the challenge, but you actually could find a female spy having to use a false massage in certain situations.
Under what circumstances?
It's Berlin. It's 1930.
I could, think of a scenario for you. She might be caught in a compromising situation, had to get out, pretend she was a fella. I don't know. But, I mean, I feel within the rules of just a minute, he wasn't actually deviating. So, but you got your bonus point.
Okay.
But Clement has a point for being interrupted. 50 seconds. How to be the perfect spy, Clement, starting now.
A hirsute upper lip is extremely useful if you are a woman spy. And I would recommend it to everyone. There was a lady called Olga Polofsky, of whom a song about whom...
Graham challenge.
Yes.
To whom?
To whoms, yes. Yes. To whom, yeah. Whom to whom, yes. Right, 35 seconds. How to be the perfect spy, Graham, starting now.
The perfect spy would be a bearded lady. Stuff that moustache and just go out and about. And, of course, people would be distracted and slightly embarrassed by the terrible facial thing going on and would never suspect her of looking for secrets hither, tither. And of course, she could hide them in the fluffy thing hanging off her head like a small bird's nest. Perhaps the secrets could be in small eggshells. And they could...
Paul Challenge.
The repetition of small.
Yes, there was a repetition of small.
Oh, what a pity.
Small thing. They enjoyed it all, yes. Quite bizarre, but they enjoyed it. Right, 7 seconds, Paul. You've got in now on how to be the perfect spy, starting now.
There was a man who apparently infiltrated the Russian KGB organisation in 1935. And what he did was he disguised himself...
So at the end of that round, Paul Merton, speaking as a whistleblower, gained that extra point. He's one behind our leader, who is Clement Freud, a little way behind, equal in third place, Graham Norton and Linda Smith. And Linda, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is the best use of a beach hut. Well, that struck some chords in our audience here. They're very expensive items these days, I believe. You have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
The best use of a beach hut is to sell it to some idiot down from Islington for £500,000. And I think you'll find that this is very easy to do. Dress up a small child as an estate agent and get them to show them these people round, and they'll think it's more spacious than it is. But, of course, living in that part of North London that I have mentioned before, they will think that's quite spacious anyway.
Clement Charles.
Repetition of spacious.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely, it's too spacious. 33 seconds is available for you, Clement, on the best use of a beach hut, starting now.
The best use of a beach hut is for speed dating. What you do is you get a whole queue of people on the north side of the beach hut and speed date them straight...
Paul Chalmers.
Repetition of speed dating.
It's speed dating.
No. I said speed date.
Yeah, but you repeated the word speed, didn't you?
But he said repetition of speed dating.
But he did mention the word speed, and I have to be
he
fair with the
rules. Repetition of speed.
Fight! We're going to be
Nicholas
semantic.
Nicholas Clement,
yes.
Leave it. It's not worth it.
I think the rules of just a minute...
We can't go out anyway. This happens everywhere we go. I'm sick of it.
I think the rules...
And a nice night in the theatre, and this goes off. Honestly, I'm sick of it.
Another bonus point to Linda. I think the rules as originally devised by Ian Messiter were, as long as he mentions you repeated one of the words, it is a repetition. So, Paul, you have the benefit of the doubt with 21 seconds on the best use of a beach hut, starting now.
When you go down to the beach early in the morning, the sun is low in the sky, and you think to yourself, I'm going to go for a swim, but what shall I do? How shall I change from my ordinary clothes into my swimming costume? I know, a beach hut. And as it appears on the horizon, you move towards it. The glistening brow, you think to yourself, I'm going to get changed in the most magnificent piece of swimming costume that any man...
Wait a minute. No, there was a challenge just before the buzzer.
Repetition of public library.
He's right.
Clement, without knowing it, your clever and devious mind has given me a wonderful way on which to finish the show.
Are you resigning?
Half a second, Paul. Beach hut starting now.
Undoubtedly.
So we have no more time to play Just a Minute. How sad that is. But Graham Norton, who hasn't played it quite so often because he's been very busy on television, actually, came back but finished in a very strong fourth position. He wasn't very far behind Linda Smith, who was in a very powerful third position. But out in the lead was Clement Freud, and he was just 1 point behind Paul Merton. So what I think is any fair thing to say, let's give both of them a big round of applause. It only reminds me to say thank you to Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Linda Smith and Clement Freud. I also thank Janice Staplehurst, who's helped me keep the score. She's blown her whistle with such aplomb that she's been charming. We thank our producer, who is Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this delightful game. And we're deeply indebted to this lovely audience here at the St. Edmunds Hall in Southwold, who've cheered us on their way in spite of the heat. You've been lovely. We've enjoyed it. From the panel, from me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Thank you.